Welcome to the NZ Everyday Investor Podcast. Have you ever wondered about things like Bitcoin, investing in the share market, or buying investment properties? Often the hardest thing about creating wealth is simply making a start. Making a start begins with learning. The NZ Everyday Investor Podcast is all about helping the everyday Kiwi create wealth through investing. None of this should be considered financial advice, but I do hope it gets you thinking. Let's get started. Today we have Rich and Al coming in the studio from a company called MyGold. Rich is the founder of MyGold and Al is a senior trader. If you follow these guys on social media, on Instagram in particular, you'll always see Al's hand in there with a white glove on it, fondling some gold nuggets of various sizes. It's pretty cool watching these videos. These are amazing chunks of metal that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes. So they came in the studio today and we had a general conversation about what makes gold investing so unique and so rewarding for the long-term investor. I think you'll really enjoy it. If you haven't found us yet on YouTube, I'd really like to encourage you to open up your YouTube player app on your phone, search for The Everyday Investor on YouTube, subscribe to us there. This is one of those episodes where you may want to watch us on YouTube also, because you can see this $75,000 gold bar that they brought into the studio. I think you'll enjoy it. Awesome, let's get started. Welcome to the NZ Everyday Investor. I'm your host, Darcy Ungaro. I'm sitting in the studio today with Rich Elliott, the founder of MyGold.
Hi, Darcy. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. And also Al, the you call yourself a senior gold trader, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Also with MyGold.
Yes, also with MyGold. Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for coming along. We've had you in the studio not that long ago. It was maybe about, what, 3 or 4 months ago, right when I was trying to figure out how this whole gold thing works and why people would invest in gold. I had you in the studio, Rich, to try to figure it out. And I've heard about buying gold before, but not in its physical form. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do. So for our listeners, do you want to just take us through again what you do?
Sure, yeah. So we only trade physical gold and silver that investors hold themselves, which we think is the safest way to own precious metals.
Gotcha. So we're talking actually about physically owning that stuff.
Correct.
Holding on to it and not actually just buying an ETF or CFD or something like that.
Absolutely.
Where it's not really there. It's financialized. Mm-hmm. Why do you do this? Why are you into it? Like you could do other things with your life after all, right?
Definitely. My golf isn't that good, so it won't be that.
Okay.
But yeah, basically our whole mission is about helping Kiwis protect and grow their wealth through investing in precious metals.
Would you ever say that you kind of think of it as storing? Because the way that I've thought about it, rightly or wrongly, is I kind of think of it as more of a store of wealth.
Yes.
Is that kind of how you...
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. So precious metals, so for example, gold, definitely holds its value in terms of what it can purchase throughout history. So if you look at what an ounce of gold would have purchased back in the days, you could have got your toga, and today, you know, an ounce of gold will buy a man's suit.
Yeah.
So it's kind of equivalent to what it's buying. So it retains its purchasing power over a very long period of time.
If you were building wealth, like if you had a diversified portfolio and you were regularly contributing and you were getting some good investment gains after fees, you would effectively just get a whole bunch of fiat currency at the end of it when you cash it in or when you liquidate it. Mm-hmm. Having gold, though, there as either a percentage of your overall portfolio or as like a receptacle of your fruits of your portfolio is the idea. Is that kind of how people do it?
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's about, in a way, insurance, but it's also about there's nothing like gold and silver in your portfolio.
Yeah.
It's just going to do what it's going to do. You're not going to become a millionaire from investing in it, but it's a fantastic way to protect and preserve your wealth.
Gotcha. It's not like stocks, right, where you're getting a dividend and you're having to pay tax on that income. Mm. You're just buying a chunk of metal, which just sits there and does bugger all, right? Like it's not actually producing anything whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like the other investments in any way, is it? Mm.
No, it's not, but that's why it's so good as well.
Right.
Because it does just sit there through the last however many thousand years now. We've had gold and silver, and it used to be money, so it's always had that value to us for human society,
and
it will continue to do so.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess listeners can check out that episode that we did where we talked a little bit more about, you know, what is money.
Mm.
I guess if you stripped away the entire financial system today, we would be left with like physical items, right? Mm. We're either going to barter with each other, but this is kind of like, it's fungible, right? Mm. We can all accept that that's currency.
Regardless of how you value the precious metals in whatever currency, it will still have a value. Whereas currencies against other currencies, those values can change wildly. And throughout history, currencies do return to their intrinsic value, which is zero.
Right.
Because there's no true safe haven currencies anymore.
Yeah.
And no one's backed by gold and silver.
Yeah, relative, right? Because it's fiat currency is like one US dollar is worth X amount relative to something. It always has to be relative to something else. But what you're saying is that there's no gold that's behind it, backing it.
Mm.
So you can only really do the opposite, which is to depict the value of gold in fiat currency rather than the other way around.
Yeah, and look, you can't print gold and, you can't quantitatively ease your amount of precious metals into the market.
You can debase it. The Romans did that, didn't they? Mm. Like they effectively just debased
it. Yeah, and that's why you need to control and own your precious metals yourself, because, you know, you need to know the quality of it. You need to trust the company that you're buying it from.
Yeah.
So, you know, that pedigree does matter.
Yeah.
Okay. And there is plenty of ways to test precious metals to know what you're buying.
What?
Yeah, well, there's XRF, which is like basically an X-ray test that gives you a highly accurate composition of the metal that you're dealing with. We also use ultrasound testing. And then from there's any number of ways like acids, fire assays.
Right.
There's a water density test, which is an ancient thing you can do based on how much, you know, the density of water and the density of gold and how much it displaces. So
okay, yeah.
Mm.
Okay, because that's specific to that actual metal.
Correct.
Is that the idea? And you could, I guess, sound as well, right? Like if you had an ounce of, like if you had a gold coin, would it sound different to a copper coin?
If it's 22 carat, yes, it makes a high pinging noise.
Okay.
But no, 24 carat doesn't. It'll just thud.
Okay.
So, no nice sound to that.
Right. Do you want to show me what we're looking at here?
Yeah, sure. So brought along today a 1 kilo Pamp Swiss gold bar.
Look at that. Whoa. Just drops it to the floor. That is heavy, right? Like, you can't really. I'll just show it up to the screen here so that you can kind of see it. You can see the glistening. That looks nice, doesn't it? Probably gold teeth. It would be awesome, right? But that is heavy. You cannot. You cannot express how heavy that is just by showing it, right?
There's a feeling to holding gold in your hand, isn't there? There's something.
Oh, yeah.
Something to it. Yeah.
Totally. What are we looking at here in terms of value? So I'm holding, 1 kilogram of fine gold from, it's a Pamp. What does that Pamp mean?
It's Pamp Swiss, so it's a Swiss refinery and mint.
Right.
One of the top mints in the world,
okay.
Which we're now selling their products.
Yes.
And today's value, approximately 75,000 Kiwi.
$75,000.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So we're looking at a Tesla Model 3 in my hands. That's nuts.
Mm.
But going back in time, like going back when we were born, it would have been relative, right?
Correct.
Like relative to the currency and what that would buy you back then.
Your Model T Ford, probably, yeah.
Well, no, I'm not that old. I was thinking like Mustang or something like that. Or Camaro. But that's phenomenal how heavy that is. Is this something that you guys always will sell, or is this something that you have at the moment?
Correct. So we work with some of the best.
You just get your hands back on that again just to make sure I don't do it.
We might miss it. So we do work with some of the top mints in the world, for example, the Perth Mint. Why Perth Mint is so great is because they are backed and owned by the Western Australian government. But other mints, we have products from the Royal Canadian Mint, US Mint, Pamp Swiss.
Yeah.
So it's about that. It's about that pedigree, about that trust, knowing the company behind it has been around for a very long time, and they back their products.
And the risk being that for some reason they debase it, or they mix it with some impurities, or they hollow it out in the middle, or something like that. I guess with these older brands, established brands, you just don't get that.
Yeah, correct. And they do have serial numbers as well, so you can trace that right back. So each kilo of these gold bars has a unique serial number.
Okay.
So that can go right back. I understand also there's different technologies that some mints are doing. They're actually photographing each bar as it is, because each cast bar is totally unique.
Okay.
So
just the temperature and the air at the time.
Exactly.
It's like a snowflake, right?
Yes. Everyone's a little bit different. So there's other techniques they're using like that as well. So we do the same thing with our silver stag bars. They have serial numbers on them.
Yes.
So, and that gives you added assurity, and we can track that right back to when it was manufactured, basically.
Is that right? Mm. So, because I saw some of these silver stag bars, and they're pretty cool. Like, they're fatter than those. Were they 1 kilo? Though.
Yes.
So the density, therefore, of silver is roughly half that of gold. Is that right?
Yeah. So if it was a kilo of silver, it would be about twice the depth of the gold bar, thereabouts. There is different finishes you can get just because, you know, we've got a flame on it. It's come out at 1,080 degrees. It'll cool at slightly different rates. But our manufacturing techniques that we're using now for those bars is largely quite automated. We are getting bars that are extremely consistent. And, the feedback is customers love the design.
Yeah.
They're a nice bar. But it is, at the end of the day, it is about the metal sold on the weight and the purity, which is quite different from say, jewelry or items that are sold for their design.
Yes.
So, for example, if you're purchasing jewelry, you're paying, if it's 9 carat, you're paying 37.5% for the gold, but then you've got all the other costs on top of that.
Gotcha.
The overheads, the manufacturing, the design. There's a lot of cost go to it. Plus, it's not sold as an investment.
No, that's right.
So with this, you know its weight, you know its purity, you know the value.
So, and you were saying this before we pushed record, that if you went to a jewelry place and you bought a really nice item of jewelry there, you're not necessarily going to be able to go back to a different jewelry store and sell it to them for what you paid because there's a lot of other markup in there, a lot of other stuff that kind of just disappears, right?
You could try.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you can really find what something's worth if you like cars. You buy it, take it back next day, see what you're going to get for it. I think that's quite a good test. And that's definitely the case with jewelry.
So the next time you go and buy your special someone a bit of jewelry, just buy them a gold bar instead.
Absolutely.
They'll love you for it.
He can even give you a pendant, you can wear it.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, we can match it. I mean, with jewelry, generally, most people wouldn't go for 24 carat. It might be an 18 or at most 22 carat.
Okay. Just talking a little bit about so that's about 70, what did you say, $75,000?
Around 75.
In New Zealand dollars?
Yes.
So in New Zealand dollars, that's the cost of a very nice brand new car right now. So Al, help me out on this, just to pound the message home, because with the weight of this being 1 kilogram, how many troy ounces are in this 1 kilogram bar?
Yeah, so 32.1507.
Okay.
Yeah, troy ounce.
Right.
Yeah, just have to make sure that it's not metric ounces, because metric ounces is actually 28 grams and a little bit. Troy ounce is 31.1035, it's quite different there.
Rich, going back to when you were born, back in 1979, the Bee Gees and Fleetwood Mac were on the radio.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, your parents, let's not talk about what they were doing. But when you were born, you weighed how much?
Yeah, about 4 kilos thereabouts, something like that.
So 4 kilos multiplied by, to figure out the troy ounces, 1507. Cool. So we worked out here before that the price of Rich when you were born in 1979 is $17,361 U.S. dollars. So if you were worth your weight in gold when you were born, just over $17,000 U.S. dollars back in 1979. So if you didn't grow up at all, like not even Benjamin Button, you didn't go backwards, you were like mini-me today, and you weighed 4 kilograms today, that exact same 4 kilogram golden child would be worth $193,000, which is pretty decent, right?
Absolutely.
Sure, there's no dividends,
yes,
but that's pretty decent increase over time, right?
Yeah.
With people that are really into gold, are they stacking bars somewhere? Is that what they do?
Yeah, absolutely. So we just partnered with the world's leading safe manufacturer. So we can offer this to New Zealand customers now, because we think if you can't touch it, you don't own it. So the best thing is if you have full control over it, you're buying physical, you're storing it yourself, you've got the insurance cover as well.
Yeah.
However, that in itself, most people are buying safes that really aren't worth anything because they're not really to the grade required or installed in the right way. So I think, storing it's very important. But that's sort of up to the individual, but we can certainly help with that as well.
So you can help with procurement of a safe?
Yeah, actually they can purchase them through us.
Is that right?
So we can sell them the grade of safe, the size of safe they require for the volume of precious metals they're purchasing.
Yeah.
Can even arrange to have it installed for them, yes.
So you can help with getting a safe sorted out for them?
Yes. Delivered, installed.
And then they would use that to talk to an insurance company to see if they can get cover to insure their metal.
Yep.
You can get insurance
cover
for that. But I guess a lot of your buyers of gold will also possibly just risk it, right, and not insure it at all. They'll just use their own way of burying it somewhere in the garden.
Well, look, if nobody knows it's there, that's fine. You just have to find some way potentially of backing that up.
Yeah.
Whether you back that up in a safety deposit box or with your lawyer in some kind of sealed manner and upon your passing, yeah, you know, the GPS coordinates are.
I remember we talked about that. Mm. I remember thinking, okay, so if I bought some gold, what would I do with it? I'd like to bury it in the garden, but then I'll probably forget. And so if I write it down on a bit of paper, then how secure is that bit of paper from whoever, right? So it's like there's layers and layers of security you'd need to...
Yeah, you could certainly encrypt that and have it stored with a trust or a trustee or something like that.
So in terms of the value of gold, just going back to that, it doesn't go up necessarily in a linear fashion, does it?
Yeah, and also I'd kind of like to make the point that potentially it's not actually precious metals going up in value. It's just the number that's associated with it because of the inflation, which by definition is, you know, well, money printing is a definition of inflation. So the more money they create, you know, the more zeros that gets added to the precious metal. So in a lot of ways, it's kind of an inflation-proof asset.
It's not so much that gold is increasing in value. It's that the fiat currency is decreasing in value.
Correct.
That can persist to a certain degree for a period of time. And, and like we discovered, this 4-kilogram gold baby from 1979 versus today is worth significantly more today. But then there's a point where I guess it goes beyond.
Yeah. And so what happens at that point? Is it hyperinflation? Is it?
Yeah. Well, your thoughts? What do you think?
Yeah, correct. Well, that does happen. It is happening around the world. And we're living in a strange time where we have, you know, negative interest rates and things like that. So if you're potentially comparing having money in the bank and you're having to pay the bank, well, you might as well own physical precious metals because it has storage costs and potentially insurance costs. But it's quite comparable now if you're having to pay a bank to keep money.
So it's almost the same thing, isn't it? Except you're paying the bank to store something that could actually go down further in value.
Yeah.
Whereas you could be paying to get that stored and
hopefully it maintains or increases its value.
Right. And considering, and like most people would agree that it's negatively correlated to fiat currency.
Yes.
So, and I read something a while ago, and I'll try to put the details in the show notes around the last several major recessions and what the price of gold went up by during those recessions. And in most cases, the price of gold went up significantly during those recessions. So the correlation between mainstream financial markets is negative, right? So it is a good hedge.
Yeah, it's not always the case, but yeah, it often is. The gold used to be fairly well correlated to the price of oil. So when oil would go up, gold would go up. But, you know, some time ago during the GFC, we saw that diverge. And, you know, recently we saw with the whole oil price situation.
That's what it comes down to, right? People are freaking out, so they turn to gold.
Well, what are you going to do? Where are you going to put your money?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an unusual situation.
And this is one of the other points I wanted to talk to you about. We had someone in from Craig's Investment Partners talking about their DIY KiwiSaver, and we talked specifically about gold or GLD and how you can actually move your KiwiSaver into gold. But it's not into physical gold, it's into this ETF. Pros and cons, right?
Yeah, look, an ETF, you're still dealing with paper. I believe you can potentially redeem your metal in some cases, but I think if you dig into those, you know, how do you know they have the metal that's backing it? Yeah, okay, they might be audited, but who's the person that's leasing the metal from the person that's leasing the metal from the person that's leasing the metal? And you might find that audit trail doesn't go that deep, doesn't go that far. Then, of course, you've got all the fees associated with that. So, you know, once you've bought the precious metals, there's no brokerage fees, no trader fees, you know, you're not paying that on top of the metal price.
Okay, well that's interesting. So, like, it's easy to buy an ETF in gold because there's no physical storage.
It's very easy to buy gold too, physical gold. it's super easy.
But you might lose that, right?
Like, yeah, I think do you want to have control over losing that, or do you want to give that to somebody else, the trust?
Right. Yeah. And that's probably what it comes down to. Here you're your own bank, whereas if you're owning an ETF, you have to have faith in the financialization of what that asset is.
Correct.
And in all the working, all the moving parts of that, you have to have faith that it's going to work. And in reality, I guess if there was a major financial meltdown, could you trust those sorts of things? You know, that's probably the question, isn't it? I was hoping you'd have the answer to that, Rich. I don't know.
That's where physical metals will come in. It's just, we think it's the safest way to own it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So take me through this. Like, we're living in a bunker. You know, there's been an EMP blast. We can't drink the water. We're bugging out now in the hills. But, you know, it's happened. Whatever has happened, and it's financial Armageddon. It's Armageddon full stop, probably, at this stage. But let's just say that whatever everybody's worried about has actually happened. What would it look like? I've got this big honky, you know, this big massive chunk of metal here. Mm-hmm. How is it actually really going to get me through in that worst case scenario?
Well, it's probably like anything, is it's water, food, you know, the essentials. It's something you can trade. You know, so if the situation did get to that point, well, you have something that people can know the value of because they can look up the price, presumably, if the internet hasn't gone down. But it will have a value. You can look it up. It's transparent.
Yeah.
You know, it's in a form that people can easily recognize.
Yeah. And so the normal units, when you have, like, this is a kilogram bar of gold here, mm-hmm. but the normal smaller units, like gold coins, 1 ounce coins, half gram, like how does it normally work in terms of these, the small units?
Yeah, correct. I mean, usually the sizes, the most common size we sell is 1 ounce, one troy ounce.
Yeah.
But we do sell them in grams as well as ounces, troy ounces.
Okay. Mm. But internationally, is it kind of recognized as an ounce, as the major?
Yeah, because the gold price is quoted in troy ounces.
Gotcha.
So that'll be the price you see when or see on the news or read about.
Okay. So, you know, I'm bugging out and I've got my goat and I've got my ounce of gold and I could potentially trade my goat for more gold or other way around, most likely. But I guess it just depends on what stage the world is at and what, you know. But I think things would be pretty bad, right? Like to get to that point.
Yeah. I think the world doesn't have to get anywhere near that bad for gold to really shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that think the next recession is potentially around the corner, but
You could lose just as much waiting for that recession as you could by trying to speculate on it. But I guess if that happened, do you want to just speak a little bit to the price that we've seen in the last few months? Because it's been pretty significant since we had you on the show last, actually.
Yes.
In fact, everything that we talk about on this podcast, you may have noticed, prospers immediately after we speak on it.
That's why we're here. No, we actually have helped a lot of customers make a lot of money in terms of the metals that they've bought and, you know, the timings and things like that. So it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
So we noticed towards the end of last year, volumes increased significantly. And we saw that worldwide. We saw that around some of the very big mints around the world that were selling out of certain products.
So we're talking about volumes, not necessarily prices, but volumes.
Correct, yes.
So you could see late last year that the amount of volume was just really starting to spike up.
Yeah, significantly. Okay. Volumes significantly increased. And we were sort of thinking ourselves at the time, well, why are these volumes increasing significantly? What do people know? Mints were selling out of products. We had trouble getting supply, and yet the price was flat.
Right.
So we had this very unusual time where prices weren't moving, but volumes were to the point globally where we couldn't get supply of many products.
Right.
So it was very interesting. And then what has happened is the price has caught up with the volumes. So the volume came before the price is increasing.
Like, is it normal to see the volume go ahead of the price movement?
I think that's a fair thing that happens. Yeah. So we saw that, and recently the price movement, we have seen significant price increases, but also the volumes have continued to increase.
Going back into, you don't have to be exact with these prices, of course, but going back maybe 3 months ago, the gold price was around the mid-1300s US dollars per ounce.
USD, something like that, yeah.
I think in the past 6 months, it's up about 20-odd percent in Kiwi dollars.
Yeah. So in the last 6 months, up about 20%.
Yeah, Kiwi dollars actually reached all-time high not long ago.
And that's the other thing to think about, isn't it? Is that our New Zealand dollar.
Yeah, that's the thing. So New Zealand dollar has been dropping significantly this past few months or so, and that's pushing the price of gold and silver higher, because everything gold and silver are priced in USD. So every time the Kiwi drops, gold and silver go up here, New Zealand. So, yeah.
Okay. Could you just comment a little bit around the relationship between the price of silver to gold?
The ratio.
Yeah, the gold.
Yeah, that dropped quite a bit. That was much higher, like 90 something. So 93 or so ounces of silver would buy 1 ounce of gold. And then that dropped significantly, which means that the silver price was actually going higher faster than the gold was. And then now cooler a little bit, but still, for example, this weekend with the oil thing, issue with the drones and all that. Gold is up, but silver is up almost double as much as gold in percentage-wise. So silver should be usually more volatile, but for example, when gold is up, silver is way higher than gold is,
right,
and vice versa as well.
Right.
So it's a bit more volatile.
The price for an ounce of silver is something like 17
yeah,
at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, versus 1500.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, so any small movement there, you see a huge percentage-wise.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of like the quantities of the stuff that's out there in the world, just thinking about risks, right?
Mm.
What would it take for the value of your gold to actually go down due to, you know, supply risks or anything like that? Like, let's say there's a big, massive vein of gold discovered. I don't even know if that's the right terminology, but there's a big, chunky vein of gold discovered somewhere. What would that do? Obviously, like, obviously, I'm just imagining that the price would go down. But is that kind of what?
Yeah. So all the easy gold and silvers really have been found already. And if the price drops below the cost of mining, guess what? They just stop mining until the price goes up. Then they start mining again. So you'll find that that just completely balances itself out because supply will dry up if the price goes below the cost to mine.
And the cost to mine at the moment for gold?
Oh, it used to be about $1,000 US per ounce just to get it out of the ground.
Just to get it out of the ground. Mm. So it kind of creates this floor to the price, right?
Yeah, correct.
So below $1,000. So really your downside is kind of limited to a certain degree with gold.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think with silver too, because if you took all the silver available for investors than gold, the pile of silver is a lot smaller. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. You told me that last time. So just to visualize this, so we've got an Olympic-sized swimming pool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's full of silver?
That'd be full of gold.
Full of gold, mm-hmm. Okay. So if that was... what would be the amount of silver that would be out there? Would you be able to...
It's a lot less than that.
Yeah, it would be less than that.
It's a kiddie pool, right? Yeah. Or it's a smaller pool.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot less than that. And it's because it's consumed in industry.
Right.
You know, you use it's the most conductive, most reflective. It's second only to oil in its uses. So oil has around 100,000 uses. Silver has something like 10,000.
Really?
So, so it's an extremely useful commodity.
Yeah, okay.
And the stat is we will have run out of available silver in about 7 to 14 years. So eventually supply and demand for silver has to massively change the silver price.
Wow. Okay. Mm. So if I was to speculate a little bit and if I was to, you know, I've got $50,000 to invest in precious metals, then there's wisdom in not just getting gold, but to consider a mix of the both.
Absolutely.
Silver's more volatile, but there's potentially an event coming up in the horizon, which would mean that there's a big spike up in the demand, right?
I mean, so in my opinion, the silver price, I could see that doubling in the next 12 months. Gold price, not so much. But, you know, there's a lot more potential for silver to increase in value. But like you said, it is more volatile.
Yeah.
It has greater spreads just because of the cost to ship it and insure it for its weight is a lot, you know, more expensive than gold.
Yeah.
But it is silver and there's not a lot of it out there.
Yeah. Look, I've been looking at that in the last little while on my my trading platform because I do a little bit of trading on CFDs.
Mm.
And the silver price movements, I can totally confirm that they're way more volatile than gold. But you look at the historical price, it wasn't that long ago where the price per ounce of silver was close to $50 an ounce.
Almost double what it is now.
Well, so
gold's
more than that.
Gold's already well over its record high in Kiwi dollars, but silver's still got a way to go.
So if I was a betting man, and of course this is an investment podcast, not a betting podcast, that would be a pretty good bet, wouldn't it? Because like, it can go down. You can lose some, but if you're buying it in the physical as well, you're not leveraged.
It always has a value and it's extremely useful.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Supply and demand at some point has to increase the value of silver significantly.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So at some stage, they're going to run out of silver in the industrial sense.
Yep. And that's the sense for everybody.
So going back to my gold and how you guys work, I know that you sell it, right? Mm-hmm. So you're making a very small spread. You sell it over the spot price. So if it's $1,500 an ounce, you'll make a small margin on top of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We make very small margins on volume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how much of your business, though, is coming from people selling through you versus buying through you?
Yeah, most customers we've ever sold to have not sold their metal back in the past 10 years. So,
Hodlers.
Yeah.
Gold hodlers. Yeah. So that happens, and that's exactly why people buy it. It's not a speculative thing. They're buying it to hold it. They're not buying it to resell it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And is that kind of that sounds like that's kind of the normal way of doing things, right?
Usually, yeah, we do have people that might sell back to us within a year or a couple of years, but it's just because maybe they need to liquidate the gold because they need to use the money for something else.
Yeah
exactly. It's more because they need for something else than like, oh, that was my plan all along. No, it's usually, so I need to sell my gold because I need to buy a house, or I need to put my kids into school. There's always a reason behind. It's not just, oh, I want to get out of gold.
Right.
So, yeah.
So a lot of people are just basically holding on for dear life, and they're accumulating. Yeah. So if there's a lot of these people that are out there that are accumulating and there's an industrial demand for these metals, then yeah, just logically, there's going to be a situation at some stage where in the very least, in the physical sense, could there be a divergence between the physical price of gold and the financial price for gold?
Good question. So what happens is what we saw in the last GFC, and we're starting to see it again, and prices really haven't moved that much yet, in my opinion. Is what you see is not so much the price, you actually see supply. So, you know, Royal Canadian Mint at the moment, their silver maples are now on allocation. So
what does that mean?
It means they're drip feeding suppliers. Right. So if you really want this product, it's just getting harder and harder to get. That's a bullion product, that's an investment grade product. So when you start to see things like that, and some of the other mints we work with, when they sell out of certain products, specifically this happens a lot in silver, you know that the demand is outstripping the supply, and it gets to a point where there is no metal out there. It doesn't matter what the price is, if you can't buy it, you can't buy it. And that's what we had in the last GFC, and we've had that happen recently with the prices, because we used to have a lot of product on hand, but because of demand, you know, most things are on back order now.
Wow.
So you just have to wait.
Inelasticity of supply, I believe they call that.
Mm.
There is this kind of almost instantaneous feedback that once the well is run dry, there's nothing left.
Yeah correct. So you might have a silver price which you might think is not particularly high, but you can't buy bars, you can't buy coins because you just can't get them. The supply dries.
And it's interesting that most of the time this happens with silver, not so much with gold. Right? If you think about every time that we have these mints saying, oh, we are sold out, we cannot take any more orders, it's usually always silver bars, silver coins. Gold, it's fine, we can get it, but it's always silver that we have a problem.
Interesting. Yeah. Yet the price is so much less than gold. It's just so strange, isn't it?
You gotta think some people know something about what's happening.
That's right. But as soon as it's kind of financialized, it starts to lose a little bit of that supply and demand dynamic.
Well, as long as it's only priced in US dollars.
So where are you going with that?
Well, you know, there has been efforts to, you know, price gold or price gold alongside a basket of currencies for different things. So, you know, if that happens, there may be other price mechanisms to value gold, particularly silver. So eventually, the amount of leverage that's been traded on the markets is way out of balance from the actual physical metals that's out there for investors.
Right.
You know, that's sort of like a big, let's say, fake market, but it doesn't represent how much metal is actually mined, how much metal is there.
Yeah.
Because if we're buying products, you know, sourcing them from international mints, refining them, casting them here as well, and we can't get supply, what does that mean when you try to cash in your ETF or, you know, your certificate? You know, we're first in line, so, you know.
I'm just trying to think, like, if you were thinking about our audience now, if you were an everyday Kiwi that is looking to build wealth, and I know I would have asked you this before, Rich, but this, I would say, is an unorthodox way to think about building wealth. Partly because it's just not talked about too much, and it's possibly not talked about because, to be honest, I look at it and I think, well, the options around making money by selling something like that is limited, therefore people don't talk about it much. It doesn't mean it's not a good idea, though.
And maybe people don't talk about it because they don't want people to know they have it. So I think you'll find that a lot with the high net worth customers we have. Discretion is pretty important. So, you know, you don't need people knowing who don't need to know you have it.
Yeah.
So that's quite important too. So there is a lot of Kiwis out there who have invested in precious metals.
Okay.
Probably be surprised.
Yeah. Mm. Sounds like I would be surprised. Just like if you came over to my house and you saw my doll collection, you'd be like, man, this guy's really weird. That's another discussion. Going back to the, you know, like an everyday Kiwi who's just getting started and they're thinking about, you know, like just getting into the share market and buying some ETFs of a diversified portfolio, or you know, buying some direct shares overseas, or setting up the KiwiSaver for the first time and thinking about that and taking it seriously. Gold, as a, like buying physical precious metals as part of their investment, that's quite a different way to look at investing, isn't it? Like, do you get a lot of first-time investors?
Absolutely. But also, it's, I would argue it's a lot easier than a lot of those other investments. You know, the process to purchase gold, you can call me, send me an email, and I can sell you gold.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So it
No anti-money laundering legislation?
We do have some requirements, definitely. Yeah, and we adhere to those.
Yeah.
However, from the point of view of ease of owning precious metals, it is very easy.
And there's no, like, I'm not paying GST if I bought gold.
Not fine gold and fine silver has no GST.
Okay. And there's no register, like you going back to that point that you made around how people are pretty discreet who buy precious metals. Clearly, you know, I'm not being very discreet right now talking about it, so I'm not even gonna mention the fact that I may or may not own precious metals, which may or may not be buried in my garden. I may or may not know where it is. But where was I going with that? I know it's quite easy, but it is quite different, because when you're buying shares, you're buying something like a share of ownership of a company, and there might be a dividend, and there's, you know, there's tax obligations around that. There's a lot of stuff that has to go on.
Correct.
But with this, there's no register. No one knows that you own that gold, right?
No, you just purchase it, and you know, you can store it how you want to store it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Job done. And it increases in value, which has been proven over time.
Long term.
Yeah, so we do have a lot of first-time customers, and it's potentially because we're happy to hold people's hands if they need to through that process. But we also find we have a lot of repeat customers. Yeah. So once people have bought from us, they understand how we work, they understand the process, the quality of products, they come back.
Okay. Let's say that I'm keen to buy some precious metals from you guys, and I get in contact with you. Maybe I'm on your newsletter, and I see a really cool special. I'll reach out to you and say, yep, I'm going to get X amount of that, get a few of those gold bars while I'm at it, and a couple of coins. How does it work? Like, if it's a physical good that's trading hands, are we going to be meeting in a dark alley somewhere, or how does this work?
No, you
well, we do a podcast. Yeah. We pretend that it's just for a show.
No, you can collect it from us, and we do have a fully insured shipping option as well. But most people will just choose to come pick it up from us.
Okay, okay. And so now you mentioned this before, like you've got a new premises, so you have to talk
correct.
About that?
Yeah, we're not disclosing the location just yet.
Okay.
For security reasons. Yeah. The new office space is very central. It's going to be fantastic for us, for customers, and for meeting people, and
awesome.
You know, for customers trading with us.
Alternatively, is it just like using a courier company for anything else? Like, do you have to have extra insurance or? Extra?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, we do, and there's only specific couriers that we work with in terms of. You know, that side of things. But yeah, central location is going to be fantastic for us and for customers.
Awesome. And when's that going to be?
Well, hopefully soon.
Yeah.
When the fit out's done.
Yeah. Is this the first time doing a fit out or a renovation?
Commercial fit out. Yeah. It's quite a process, but it's going to be a fantastic space, and we're really looking forward to it.
That's cool. Well, good luck. Drop gold. As a campaign, there, and I might put a link on the show notes around this. There's a really cool video, and it was all about, I don't know who was in charge of this, but
it's a funny video.
Yeah, it's a funny video, and it's basically just showing people literally dropping gold and moving towards Bitcoin, because that's the way of the future, and gold is really old fashioned.
It's the old man's metal.
It's the old man's metal. That's right.
Yeah, look, I mean, people can drop gold to us if they want.
That's right. Okay.
You know, we'll happily buy
we'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, look, I think it's. Interesting thing, but you know, I don't see Bitcoin as gold.
Okay.
You know, it says some of the properties, but it was actually designed to be originally as an electronic currency. And it wasn't actually designed originally
as a store of wealth alone.
Yeah, correct.
It was designed to be electronic money.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of morphed though into this other form of wealth.
Yeah, highly speculative.
Storage.
Yeah. Yeah. So who knows what the price is going to do in the future, but I know my gold's going to be gold.
Yeah. So if you had $10,000 to invest right now, would you spread that equally between Bitcoin and gold, or would you just say, nah, forget Bitcoin, I'm just going to put it all in gold?
Yeah, I'd do a mix of gold and silver.
Okay. But no Bitcoin at all? Not into it? You're on the record, Rich.
Precious metals.
What about you, Al? Would you go down with
same,
Bitcoin?
No.
Yeah?
No.
You guys
too volatile for me.
Too volatile. Yeah.
I prefer to stick with something that has been money for 10,000 years than something that was created you know, 10 years ago or whatever.
Okay. And is that kind of like the typical sort of response for people that are gold bugs? They're, you know, they're really, that's their thing. They get it. They understand it. And to hell with Bitcoin, right? Is that kind of typical?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So some people who have done it, they know it's highly speculative and it could go to zero. The control for Bitcoin is, you know, as far as the mining goes, is actually highly centralized. So, you know, there's
because of the mining, you're saying.
Yeah, correct. So, you know, if you liken that to gold and you thought, well, let's say there's only a few super large mines in the world that control all the supply of gold.
Yeah.
You know.
The gold mines in the world are quite
correct.
Distributed across the world. Mm. So then let's just speculate then. Like one of the problems that I have in my head anyway, and maybe it's just me, maybe I'm just not saying this the right way yet, is like that's heavy. Like this, I got to keep on holding it because it's just so freaking heavy. So this is heavy. This is, to me, if I want to give this to my buddy in New York to pay him back for the Model S Tesla that I crashed. That's just a joke, by the way. That didn't actually happen. It was on autopilot, I'm sure. But anyway, if I wanted to do that, then that's quite awkward, right? It's a big chunk of weight.
Yeah,
that I'm
not really. I mean, we can ship anywhere in the world.
Is that right?
Mm.
And so, it's insured. So
correct. Yeah. So if you wanted that shipped to your friend in New York, you know, we can do that very directly, probably within a week.
Okay. Well, there you go. Mm. Okay, that shut me up right away. So I was going to say, you know, it would be good if there was some sort of digital version of that, right?
Yeah. Well, there are a couple of mints around the world. I think the Perth Mint was looking at it. The Royal Mint, I think, has just launched an ETF that is backed by gold. You know, it's audited and backed by their history. So, yeah, I think those might be something to consider.
So there is that natural progression then, isn't that, where you could be trading a digital instrument which represents an ounce of gold somewhere.
But it's backed by who? That's kind of critical.
That's the linkage, eh?
Yeah, and also that it's redeemable.
Right.
So these newer, better ones tend to be.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So going forward, speculating, thinking about our kids right now, when they're our age, for an ounce of gold, what are we going to guess? Like, let's put it out there right now so that when they're listening to this podcast in 35 years time.
If you look at the money that's been created and that's potentially could be created, there's no limit really to the amount of zeros that could be attached to an ounce or a kilo of gold. So
yeah, it's hard to quantify that, because we're assuming that it's 2% inflation rate perhaps over the next 40 years.
Mm.
You have to assume quite a few things, but looking at what it was 40 years ago when we were born or when you were born, yeah, it's a significant increase, right? Mm.
You know, there's people out there that are calling for a $5,000 to $10,000 gold price within the next bull market, which we're just started now.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Who knows? But you know, when you've got your gold, you just put it away and almost forget about it. I think that's the point as well. You can check the price every day, but you know,
like, I think that gold, for me anyway, the way that I'm thinking about it right now, and I know that I'm quite new to the whole gold thing, getting my head around it. It might take some time, but I still think of it as just a great receptacle of your wealth rather than one of the things that's building your wealth. Because to me, it always, if you're building your wealth using precious metals, it implies that the real value is in the fiat currency. But if you're storing your wealth that you create in the fiat world into the precious metals, that's probably, in my mind anyway, that seems to be the natural way to think about it. Because that's timeless. That's as infinite as we can get in terms of actually storing your wealth in something. Would you agree with that statement?
It's quite good.
I know I'm preaching to the choir here, really. It's not like you're going to disagree with me. But I just think that I never was taught anything about gold. Why was I never taught anything about gold?
Yeah.
And actually, why don't you guys answer that? Like, why do you think no one talks about gold? Apart from the fact that they're trying to be discreet, why don't people teach you the importance of investing in precious metals?
I think, from my opinion, is just that compared to the likes of Bitcoin or these high speculative, I don't know if you can call them Bitcoin assets, but these investments, it's much boring. So you cannot have like on YouTube, oh, buy gold and be rich in 2 weeks. But you can say buy gold, buy Bitcoin and be rich in 2 weeks. And people might be like, oh, there's a possibility. So I think it's more a mechanism for you to protect your wealth long term. It's kind of more conservative if you compare it to the likes of cryptocurrency. So it's not as sellable as cryptocurrency or something that, oh, 10x your money in 2 weeks. You won't do that to gold unless there's like a collapse in the world or something like that.
So what you're saying is that one of the reasons why I haven't been told about this sooner is because it's just not sexy enough.
Well, it is a transparent market too. Yeah. So, you know, people potentially can't easily make money on selling this product because everyone knows what it's worth. The margins are very small. I think that's part of it too. You know, yeah. So you don't really get brokers pushing it because how are they going to make money out of it?
Yeah.
You know, their fees.
Yeah, sometimes a lot of the reason why we were taught certain things, especially when it comes to investments, is because there's a revenue model behind it. And when there's a lack of a revenue model, it doesn't mean that that thing isn't good. It just means that people haven't figured out how to make money on it yet.
Yeah, but you look at the hundreds of tons that China and Russia are buying.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like all these banks around the world buying tons of gold. Why are they doing that? You know, like, I mean, they control the, you know, money around the planet, and they're buying gold tons every month.
Yeah.
And China and Russia have been super aggressive. China now, it's been like, there's a new report recently saying that they're buying like very, very aggressively. Why are they doing that? And why they're not buying, I don't know, US dollars or something like that?
Yeah.
Or Bitcoin or whatever it is.
Why do you think they are doing that?
To me, it's just that the proven history, gold, Bitcoin can go to zero. Stock can go to zero. Gold will always have value. I mean, it's been tested for thousands of years that there will always be a buyer of gold. I think it's like the ultimate safe haven, basically.
Yeah. And when these big sovereign nations are fleeing to safe havens, I guess that's a whole other series of questions that should prompt you to sort of ponder. But that's interesting, though, isn't it? Is that, you know, these big nations are gobbling up the gold right now.
Well, that's why Nixon took the U.S. off the gold standard, because people were redeeming their U.S. dollars for gold, and they said, no, we don't want that.
So what does the future hold then when it comes to that? Do you think that we're going to go return to back to a gold standard at some stage, you think, or some version of it?
Potentially. You know, as long as the fiat currencies we use, we all have faith in them, that they have value. But that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and when you have governments that print stuff and, you know, interest rates that go negative and... You know, there seems to be a continued push for inflation. You know, they want to keep this ride going. But, it doesn't last forever.
It seems to be into gold, apparently.
Yeah. No, we think the future's pretty bright for precious metals.
Bright and shiny and yellow.
Yeah. Bright, shiny. Or silver and shiny.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Okay. So, Rich, before we finish up, and thank you, by the way, guys, for coming on. That was enlightening, as usual. Thank you for being part of my continual professional development and education. Much appreciated. Now, when I first met you, Rich, I think really shortly after that, I signed up to the newsletter. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned on the first time that we caught up that your prices can't be beat. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I saw some of these things coming through. And I still don't know how you do it in terms of, I just know that you're probably not making a huge amount of money off this in terms of the margin on top of the spot price, right?
Correct.
But is that pretty much right?
Like, yeah, correct. I mean, some of our specials have been ridiculous. Like we have offered gold at spot to the market before, which is something that's kind of really unheard of. But, you know, we can do that on occasion because of the volumes we have, and maybe we have product that we want to move.
So just to clarify for the listeners as well, spot just means
it's basically,
this is the price.
Yeah, the market price of gold with no additional margin.
Right.
Yeah, so that's kind of like a wholesale price, but really not even wholesale. It's like that's the manufacturing price almost. Yeah.
And so there's times where that'll actually happen, but other times in your newsletter, that's the best place to look for that, right?
So yeah, correct. We don't put those out any other channel, so if you're not on our newsletter, your email address isn't there, you're not going to get the special.
Okay.
So people have to really be on that to see some of these things that we offer from time to time and take advantage of them.
All right. So in terms of a call to action for anybody who's remotely interested in gold is to sign up to your newsletter.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, front page, scroll to the bottom. There's a blue box. Okay. Subscribe to the free newsletter. You can unsubscribe at any time.
Sweet. And the address is mygold.co.nz?
Yes.
Too easy. And like there's tons of content out there. It's just interesting stuff. It's like a little bit of it is entertainment because they're speculating on, you know, the end of the current financial system. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. But there's a lot of really amazing content out there on gold.
Yeah, and look, don't take our word for it. You know, do your own research.
Yeah, and you guys are pretty normal compared to some of the nut bars out there. So thanks for being normal, guys. Keep it up.
Yeah, we'll sell to you anyway. So
yeah, that's right.
That's fine.
But thanks, guys, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks for having us.
And next time, Al, you got to bring the white gloves.
Yeah, right? True.
Cool. Sure. Take care. Cheers.
All right.
So thank you again to Al and to Rich for coming into the studio today to discuss gold. I don't necessarily think that it's going to be one of those things that you can use as a wealth building mechanism. You know, they may disagree with me on this one, but I think I kind of see it more as a receptacle to your wealth building rather than one of the things that will do it. Because ultimately, if you're building wealth, you got to think about, well, what are you building the wealth for? And what could happen while you're building the wealth, which could impact you? And I'm talking about the inevitable recession, of course, or even worse, like a widespread global financial catastrophe, some sort of Armageddon, right? And so if these events could happen, it would be foolish for us to behave in a way which was contrary to that fact. It would be wise to behave in such a way where you at least do your best to protect yourself, to hedge yourself against these risks. I loved how, you know, just thinking about the fact that if you were born 40 years ago, if you were worth your weight in gold, you would be worth 1,000% more today than 40 years ago. So how's that for a good investment? No more having children, just buy gold babies and sit on them. Okay, so that's it for today. Now, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And again, please do subscribe to us on your favorite podcast player or jump onto YouTube and find us there and subscribe to us there as well. And we'll catch you next time around. Cheers. I hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the NZ Everyday Investor Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, then I'd encourage you to visit the show notes on your podcast player. And while you're there, sign up to our newsletter. If you're keen to see how good looking we are in real life, we're also on YouTube. Just search for The Everyday Investor. I hope that what you heard today will somehow encourage you to build real and lasting wealth in your world. But do remember to seek your own advice before acting on any of the material covered today. Catch you next time.